The following program is an LA Edge Web Radio exclusive and is rated NC-17 for adult language and content. That means if you do not condone adult language and content and do not want your child exposed to adult language and content, then turn this shit off right now. LA Edge Web Radio is not responsible for the upbringing of your child or is not responsible for what your child listens to or is exposed to. LA Edge Web Radio strongly supports the broadcasting rating system and therefore does not condone anyone under the NC-17 age rating listening to this program. Thank you. Now, on to the show.
This is not just a black issue. It's not just a Hispanic issue. This is an American issue.
There is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
Nuclear is just the power, the devastation is very important to me.
Shut fire, officer down!
We consider this an act of terrorism.
Nobody should be fooled.
Welcome to the Chalk Line of a Nation. Political talk about a dying nation.
The end of the Republic has never looked better.
I wouldn't say that too soon there, President Obama. Good evening, everybody. I am the producer of this show, Chris. I will be here from time to time introducing the guys and giving them the front stage, so to speak. But this is a political real talk show. When I say real talk, you're going to get in your face reality, guys. We're not going to, you know, hold any tongues in cheeks or anything of that nature. We're going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, which the media does to you. They tell you what they want you to hear, and these gentlemen will tell you exactly what you need to hear. So with that said, how are you tonight, gentlemen?
I'm Peachy Keno, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good, good. Well, I know you guys have a lot to cover with the cabinet, but I wanted to do a little icebreaker for the show to give a little bit of it's political, but it's not so political, so to speak. But I found this article from today in the Huffington Post. It says Donald Trump could be in violation of the lease on his D.C. hotel the day he takes office. And what it's basically saying that the hotel lease specifically states that no elected official of the government of the United States shall be admitted to any share or part of this lease or to any benefit that may arise therefrom. So on January 20th, 2017, when he is sworn into office, he will be in breach of his lease.
And Donald Jr. or one of the other kids will take it.
Yeah.
That's a simple fix.
Or he just won't. I mean, you know, we had Halliburton, right?
Yeah.
You know, Cheney was supposed to divest himself of Halliburton, but he didn't. We all know he didn't. But, you know, when he came down, who really cares, right? So Trump's got interest in the hotel. That's gonna prevent him from doing his job. Right.
Instead,
well,
you never know
because he might put a lot of high-paying people in that hotel and not let them stay at other hotels.
Well, if Trump owns it, it can't be much better than Hotel 6 as far as I'm concerned. So there you go. You know.
Actually, walking by it a couple months ago, it looks pretty decent.
So I'm looking forward to him keeping an interest in it so we can hear about, you know, Putin comes to visit and gets bed bugs. You know.
I don't
I'm
think
a bad
Putin
man, boys.
Visit, but that's okay.
No, I don't think he will either, but, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, you
know, there's some trending. There's another trending story that you guys might want to go check out after the show. I encourage all you listeners to listen to Mike and Kevin. because they have a lot of good stuff in store for tonight. But there is another article there that I think a lot of people should read. It's called Here's Why Michael Moore Thinks Donald Trump is Going to Get Us Killed. So I think that would be a very interesting read, to say the least. But
it will be.
But I'm going to turn it over to you guys. I know you have a lot to cover with the cabinet stuff tonight, so I'll chime in from time to time. But for the most part, folks, this is Kevin, this is Mike, and they are your hosts of Chalkline Minutia.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And
all
the
news you need to know.
You know, Chris will jump in when we get out of control. He's our babysitter.
Yeah, which behooves me to say that I do hereby officially apologize for last week. I was a bit off my game. I won't say why. We'll just say I wasn't quite on the mark, okay? So there it is there. I made my apologies. If it's not good enough, hey, kiss my booty, okay?
There you go.
But, yeah, you know, the reason I suggested talking about some – I mean, I think we kind of slightly touched on some of Trump's picks last week, didn't we, Mike? You know, before
little,
that jerk-off
yeah.
got us
he
off
did,
track.
He did come out – he did come out with the Secretary of State, though. We got him to go over. We did talk a little bit about him, but not a lot. I mean, very little.
Yeah, and then that jerk-off just got things off track. And, you know, damn his ass for that.
You know, I don't
know we won't talk about him no more.
he was a Kevin impersonator.
Yeah, that's it was my doppelganger. That's who it was. I wasn't even here last week. You know,
he was in Bahamas or something.
Yeah. Well, that'd be a good place to be right now. It's pretty damn cold here in the South.
So, what do you think of this Rex Tillerson there, Kevin?
I'm not happy. But I'm even less happy with the person I hear Trump would like to have for to be in charge of intelligence.
Well, intelligence.
You know, yeah. Carly Fiorina.
Don't you have to have intelligence to be in charge of intelligence?
I would think you would, which is why I'm questioning his pick for Carly.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, this is a woman who cost thousands of Americans their jobs at Hewlett-Packard. And then after she cost thousands of Americans their jobs, she gave herself a nice raise.
Right.
You know, now we need to look at the fact that, you know, Trump can pick whoever he wants, but we know that, you know, Senate has to approve his picks. But with that being said, we have the, if I'm not mistaken, Republicans are in control of both houses, right? Senate
House
and Congress.
Senate, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's more than likely going to get who he wants. More than likely.
Right.
You
Most
know.
Likely.
So the way it looks to me right now, it looks like Trump is stacking the deck with a bunch of billionaires and multi-millionaire big business cronies. You know,
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, and yet the reason we all voted for him.
Did you realize that Tillerson owns 151 million in company stock for ExxonMobil?
Yeah, ain't that something? Ain't that a pip?
And he's going to be the state. How in the hell is he going to not be conflict of interest with that kind of money in a company?
Oh, because he says he has vast amounts of experience in dealing with foreign leaders.
Well, which he
That's
does,
how.
But I'm a little nervous about him.
Oh, I'm very nervous about it, Mike.
Hillary made a lot of money being Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Illegally. This guy's going to obviously do it. You know, we do have to give everybody that Trump did pick the chance because he's got to pick a cabinet. And I was going over this a little bit with Chris earlier. They got to give it a chance, you know, because he's got to pick people he thinks he can work with, right? And I don't think, you know, it's a little early to tell. I mean, we don't like some of his picks. I can agree with you for Carly. I am not real happy with. But, you know, what could she really hurt? Intelligence?
But isn't it kind of funny how so many of these people that he's picking are people that when he was running, he trashed the hell out of these people. You know, he was anything but kind to Carly. He was brutal on her, as well he should have been, because as far as I'm concerned, she's a scumbag. But that's
was
me.
Was that the one he said,
you know?
Look at her face?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to look at her face because I need to eat food and that'll throw me off my meals. But, you know, it's, here's the thing. I mean, everybody was, all the people that voted for Trump wanted Trump because, well, they said, well, he's not a politician, you know, and granted, he's not. He's just doing business as usual from how I see things right now, you know, but I'm naturally distrustful of anyone in government,
right,
you know,
right.
And I have been for many decades now, you know, and I wouldn't be that way if I can't remember a politician in my lifetime that was trustworthy. I can't remember one of them. You know, I mean, even Reagan, you know, the great Reagan that so many conservatives seem to tout as almost like the second coming of Christ, you know. I mean, this guy was a shady character. He did some shady stuff. I'm not knocking everything Reagan did. He certainly did some good things. And,
right.
You know, I'd be a liar if I said that at least economically and stuff, we weren't somewhat better off under Reagan than we were under the jackasses that came before him or after him for that matter. You know, but it just always seems to be like business as usual in Washington, D.C., you know?
Well, and, you know, the thing is I'm looking at the cabinet picks, and I don't know if everybody knows who they are. We've got a list of the tops, you know, from Secretary of Homeland Security on down. But, you know, these guys, are, like you said, are politicians or billionaires. Every one of them, politicians or billionaires.
Right.
Well, I'm looking at it, and I'm going, okay, if I'm President-elect Trump, and I'm going into the White House, and I got to run this country for the next 4 years, and, yeah, I ran with the understanding that I was going to go in there and drain the swamp. Well, you know, I'm going to have some lizards in the swamp to help me drain the swamp, because there's no way I can go in there and not have any politicians on my cabinet. And, you know, the billionaires are because they made themselves billionaires for a reason. So he believes they're smart. Right. So if I'm going into the White House and I look, he's looking at these politicians, interviewing these politicians for cabinet members and saying, okay, I agree with this one a little bit. So I'll bring him in as this. And, you know, that way he has somebody, I think, to help him. You see what I'm getting at? I mean, he can do it without
I see where it comes
any
from.
Politicians. I can't see him going in there and having no politicians on his cabinet.
Well, that would be kind of, that'd be next to impossible to do that.
Well, you're just asking for trouble. I mean, if you try to do that, it'd be totally impossible. I mean, there's no way you can run the country without having any knowledge and then bringing everybody in your cabinet that has no way, no clue how this country operates.
No. You have to have some people that at least have a semblance of an idea of how things function and how things work.
Right.
My problem with it all is,
earlier, though, we've got all these people criticizing all these picks, but tell me your opinion about it. What's wrong with some of these picks? I mean, we can go down the list and you can tell me.
Here's my problem, okay? This was my big problem when Trump first announced he was running. Everybody said, well, he's not a politician. And because, you know, I mean, we all know the mess we're in because of politicians. And,
right.
and you can't deny that. So
right.
they said, well, you know, Trump's a successful businessman, and that's what we need. Because I don't know why, but some people in this American society, particularly conservatives, have this idea that America needs to be run like a business. Well, America's not a business. It's a nation of human beings. No, it's not. We're people. And you can't run people like a business. But, you know, I mean, like you said, you know, it's too soon to say. Who knows how things are going to come out. I mean, much as I totally doubt it, and I believe I'll be vindicated, Trump is going to mess this country up. But, hey, I could be wrong. You know, he could turn out to be a great president for all we know at this moment. But that being said, you know, yeah, I got a problem with the Exxon guy, you know, because he is that, you know.
And that's
I got a problem with Fiorna. But, again, the same reason.
Because he's the same reason for being – you know, in the business with oil, and he's going to be talking to all these world leaders about the U.S. and try to fix the U.S. stuff with them and turn around and try to sell more oil.
it's not so – well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of it. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we have companies like Exxon who rake in billions upon billions of dollars in profits every year. And yet, for some reason, the American taxpayers have to pay to fund the oil companies for searching for more oil. Well, when they find oil, do they give the taxpayers a discount on their gasoline? No, they don't. They keep
right.
raking in the profits. You know, so I don't.
Well, maybe this could be good. Okay, let's turn this into a positive then. Maybe this Tillerson, Rex Tillerson, is going to go over there and find this oil at the same time as being Secretary of State, and gas prices are going to come down.
Yeah, and maybe pigs are going to fly out of my ass, Mike.
You know?
It could happen, right?
Yeah, well, you never know.
Well, I'm going to watch what I eat from now on. I'll tell you that much.
I've seen some of the strange stuff, strange things happen, you know?
Strange things do happen. We have Donald Trump as president-elect. Strange things certainly happen. I was talking to my mother today. I had to take her to her doctor's office. And I said, you know, I said, you look at this election. I mean, we've always heard every time an election rolls around, we always hear, this is the most crucial election in American history. The fate of the nation is at hand, right? But
right,
I think in this case, it's certainly more true than it ever was. But my big question is, what the hell are we going to have to choose from in 2020? This time we had Trump and Hillary. What are we going to get in 2020? Is it going to be Kanye,
you know,
and who knows? You know?
I don't know if Trump met with Kanye today, so, or the other day. So
that scares me. That scares me. I mean, the idea that, you know, if Kanye West really ran, is there enough dumbasses in this country to elect him? I think there are.
Yeah, there probably are. You know, like
yeah.
I said before the election, that, you know, people do your research, and, you know, people don't do their research. You and I both know.
No, they don't.
I mean, they just go in there and they say, oh, my mom was a Republican or my mom was a Democrat, so I'm supposed to elect a Democrat or a Republican.
That's it.
Because they did, you know. And that's a lot of the things you see.
I've
you
got
know,
cousins in Arkansas who are staunch Democrats. And this is no lie. One of them, I won't name his name to spare him embarrassment, but he said, you know what, I'll tell you what, I've always been a Democrat. And if tomorrow Adolf Hitler was running as a Democrat and Jesus Christ ran as a Republican, I'd vote for Hitler, because if Jesus was a Republican, I know I couldn't trust him. You know, that's how bad it is. You know, that's not a joke. That's truth.
Wow.
But that's what we do. I mean, you know, most of us are Democrats because that's what mom and dad were. That's what grandma and grandpa were. You know, and then we
right,
tend to
right.
rely on whatever, you know, if Sean Hannity says, hey, got to get out there and vote for Trump, well, then all the Fox News heads will vote for Trump. You know, because
right,
Sean
right.
Hannity said so. And he's a great American, by the way. You know.
So, you know, they're saying
but yeah.
This Tillerson, because he did dealings with Putin, you know, and he got that friendship award from Putin.
Yeah.
You know, being a friend of Russian Putin. So he got that friendship award. And so a lot of skeptics are skeptical because he has done dealings with Putin. Well, I mean, as a businessman, he did dealings with Putin. I mean, that was his job, you know. But, again, they're saying that President-elect Trump is buddies with Putin also.
Yeah, I know, and the Russians helped Trump win the election. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What's the problem? What's the problem, America, if they do have common interests with Putin, if they're just personally, or they are friends with Putin? What's the problem if they're not going to hurt our company and keep Russia from nuking us?
Well, I would much rather have us be friends with Russia than China.
Exactly.
Because Russia isn't sending poison food and poison toys and all this other stuff that China's been doing for years and years now. This is like, you know, the federal government comes out and says that Saudi Arabia is the number one funder of terrorism in the world today. Saudi Arabia is.
Right.
Yet they keep telling us that Saudi Arabia is that they're our buddies. You know, well, no, they're not my buddy. You know, China's no friend to me. I'll say this about Putin. Okay. Truth of the matter is Putin is an evil son of a bitch.
Sure
he is. He's a brutal bastard. But I respect him. I respect him in the sense that, you know, when there's a terrorist attack in Russia, he says, we ain't having this. And he goes and he gets them. He doesn't play. So Putin is asking America, hey, let's go after these ISIS bastards. Let's stop this crap. You know, now I don't like what Putin has done in Ukraine. I don't like what he's done in Chechnya. I don't like what he's massing up to do to Poland and stuff now. I don't like it.
Right.
But who else wants to help us?
Right. And there's so much we can go over on these topics because it's like,
sure.
How do we talked a while back, Kevin, about how we should just protect our own and protect our borders and not be out fighting everybody else's wars. And again, now we got, you know, like you said, as an American citizen, we feel bad about what happened in Ukraine. We feel bad about what happened in Chechnya and et cetera. Right. So how do we stay home and fight our battles that way?
Well,
you can't.
Truth be
told, we
can't just take care of our own. Yeah, we do.
Yeah. I mean, you've got
there
to,
has
go
to
out
be
and
a
help
point.
Humanitarian.
Yeah, but we don't have to be the world's police force. You know,
right?
Which
right.
That's
something
not
like
really
Syria.
What our government's been about.
More, something like Aleppo. I think we should be involved more in that than ever because I mean, I was watching the news this morning and it made me about barf when I looked at the city. It was just
bad.
Like, oh, my God. And there was millions of people that lived in that city. I didn't realize how big it was until I really sat and looked at the map they showed today of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the city's huge. Millions of people living in it, and every single building was bombshelled. It was like, are you imagine going to your local downtown city and nothing but bombed-out buildings.
Yeah.
You know how many women, children, old people died in those bombings. It's like, are you kidding me? How can we leave that alone? You can't leave that alone.
No, something
and what are
you
we
can't
doing?
Ignore.
Sending arms to the rebels.
Well, yeah. No, but, you know,
but
we have a president right now who refuses to even say Islamic terrorism. He won't even say the words.
Exactly. It's all that's doing to us right now is it's giving the ISIS more weapons because it's not going to the rebels. Half the rebels are ISIS, aren't they?
Well, we know what Benghazi was really all about.
Right.
You know.
And we were drifting off our cabinet, but this is kind of more interesting anyway.
But that's part of it, too. You know,
right.
The government comes out and tells us, well, here's what we're doing and here's why we're doing it, but it all ends up being a big lie.
Right.
You know,
right.
That we're actually helping make ISIS and these other groups stronger. We're not stopping them. But if you listen to Obama, they're on the run.
Right. And all these situations around the world is why I think I have no issues with these military generals that he appointed because they've been out in the field. They see what's going on around the world. You know, maybe they can give advice or do something to make it better. You know, where
well,
we should
the,
be. Should
the military
be.
Picks that he's made. I agree with because these are guys that really they're good military. You know, Obama went on a search and destroy mission when he became president to get rid of all the generals who would stand against him. Yeah, and he basically got rid of them all. So I'm okay with those guys.
Well, and that's
I like those guys.
And you hear criticism about them because generals shouldn't be running the Department of Defense. Well, you know what? I'll tell you right now. I'd rather have a retired general running the Department of Defense than a stupid senator any day that's never served in the military just because I served in the military, you know? And it'd be nice to know that whoever's in charge of all my operations and all my dollars coming to the defense, that it's going to be spent right.
Yeah.
You know, a retired general's
going to
know what equipment we need.
Totally.
He's going to know what equipment we need. He's going to know how many troops we need. He's going to know everything so when the generals on the line say we need to get more stuff for the Department of Defense, he's going to be able to say yes or no, and I'm going to feel comfortable with him saying yes or no. Instead of a politician sitting there and saying, well, we're spending way too much on military. Well, yeah, because you're spending $6 billion or $40 billion for airplanes, you know, for fighters.
Like Rumsfeld,
you know?
That bastard.
Yeah.
you know?
It's like, I'm sorry, I agree with it. I mean, if you're going to have retired generals in, that's where they belong.
I know, I totally agree. When it comes to the Department of Defense, you need guys that they've been in the shit. They know what's going on.
Well,
they know what the troops need. Yeah.
He put him in there, and he put him in Homeland Security, which I know we talked about Homeland Security a little bit, where you said we need to get rid of it.
Well, we need to get rid of it for what it is now. It has very little to do with actual security.
Right.
You know, like the Patriot Act. We throw the name Patriot in there, and everybody thinks, oh, it's good for America, and it's been anything but good for America. You know? But, come on. You need somebody in there who, like I said, knows what the grunts on the ground need. They know what soldiers need in order to get the objective met. You know, as opposed to some guy like Rumsfeld, who was all about the bottom line and saving a buck. You know, of course, he didn't save the taxpayers' money, but, you know, all the bureaucrats continue to make money. And that's the problem with the military, the way it runs today, is, you know, the troops on the ground, the troops coming home are getting the shaft. I just saw on a news feed here a couple days ago, where was it? Was it in Virginia, I think, where some poor vet died and laid in a shower for over 9 hours before anybody came to get him out.
Right, because
you know,
he was all by himself and nobody knew, you know.
Nobody cared, man. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and that's the deal. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
They feed
and I look at it, these people come here, they should want... Our vets and soldiers should want for nothing, man. You know?
Right.
They should have a job guaranteed to them when they come home. They should have decent health care. They shouldn't have to worry about this crap.
You know how many of our troops are on food stamps?
It's disgusting, dude.
It is. It's like they don't even make enough to support their families.
No.
You know, they're putting their life on the line and only making $1,000 to $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how disgusting. How can we sit there and expect these guys to even care at that money? Why? Because they're true patriots. They're true Americans. You know?
But once again, you've got all these Americans running around waving the flag, and they got their little bumper stickers and their little magnets on their car saying, I support the troops. Well, you know, if you're not contacting your senators and your congressmen and your president saying, hey,
give these guys some money.
I want our people taken better care of, then you aren't really supporting them.
Putting
you
the
know,
flag
and
on
they
the
deserve better.
Support them. You're right.
That's right.
You're absolutely
right. They're, and it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I would have never sent troops into Iraq or Afghanistan because I think we've been to both those countries over based on a lie. But my God, if you're going to send these people in to bleed and leave their body parts scattered in these third world countries, then by God, take care of them when they come home and give them what they need to win the battle. You know, let's not have another Vietnam, man. I mean, because no vets have ever gotten a dirtier deal than the Vietnam vets because they lost.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they
yeah.
didn't, but, you know, you have to stand up. And this is my problem with the American people. You know, we need to stand up, people, because our freedom's being taken away. Our country's been stolen out from under us, and we've been sold down the river.
You're right.
You know.
I mean, it's
but
gone.
Until
it's
you,
gone.
Yeah, you need to turn off Duck Dynasty and Sister Wives and all those shows. Shut your Xbox off and get involved, man.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you think?
Because if you don't get involved, you can't bitch.
Attorney General.
I'm not a huge fan of his, but that said, I'm willing to give the guy a chance, man. You know.
Is he going to hang Hillary?
No, no one's going to hang Hillary, dude.
Yeah.
No one.
They're going to just let her drift away and for another 4 years so she can come back and try it all again.
Well, I mean, come on. You know, when after Obama got elected, what did we hear the first 4 or 5 years Obama was in office? This president has sideswiped the Constitution. We're going to impeach him. You remember old Boner?
Didn't happen.
I don't call him Boehner, Boner. You know?
Yeah.
And then when he got reelected, it was like, oh, well, no, we never had any intentions of impeaching Obama.
Yeah.
But Obama violated the Constitution time and time again. All impeachable offenses. They're not going to do nothing to any of them.
Right.
You know, it's business as usual, dude. You know, so I mean, why were most of the Republicans in the GOP against Trump? They didn't want Trump. They wanted Hillary, because if Hillary got elected, that means more kickbacks, more payoffs, business as usual.
Right. Now, if you look at the things that Trump did, Kevin, for example, okay, with Secretary of State Tillerson, right? He's a businessman.
Yeah.
Then we go to Homeland Security retired general John Kelly. Then you go to CIA director Mike Pompeo.
Yeah.
He's a congressman for CIA
yeah.
director. Okay, I don't know about that, but we'll see. Then you got Treasurer Steven Mnuchin. He is a former Goldman Sachs hedge funder.
That was scary.
He's a treasurer.
Yeah, that's real scary.
Former Goldman Sachs hedge funder and Hollywood producer. He did produce the movie Sully and American Sniper, though, so, you know.
No, I got issues with that movie.
Thing. Which one?
Chris Kyle. I have
Sully.
Major issues with that dude. Major.
So then, I guess what I'm trying to say is then you go to Attorney General Jeff Sessions, another senator, labor,
yeah.
Andrew Pudzder, he was a restaurant executive.
Yep.
So he knows how to, you know, keep the labor rates down for restaurants.
He knows how to make cheeseburgers.
Yes, Carl's Jr. free plug there, boys.
Well, that's American cheeseburger. What the
health
hell?
And, Health and Human Services, Tom Price. 62-year-old, six-term Republican congressman out of Georgia. Orthopedic surgeon. You know, because he
yeah.
was opposed to Obamacare, so he's going to be the Health and Human Services. But, again, like I said, the key parts are that I'm pointing out, I guess, would be the congressmen are all doing things that really involve a lot of government stuff. You know,
yeah.
when you got, not counting, I mean, attorney general, that's you should be a politician. You know, Treasury, I don't know about that one. I would be kind of worried about it. But CIA director, you know, he's a congressman. But then you go to the ones that are important to me, which is Department of Defense, Homeland Security, retired generals. I think that's a pump for me.
No, I hear what you're saying.
He did put Rick Perry in charge of energy. So, you know, another congressman. And then Housing and Urban Development, Ben Carson, of course.
Yeah, Carson, I don't get that one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know he's supposed
but
to be a highly respected surgeon and all that, but that guy's an idiot.
But he, you know, he was wanting him for something different. You know,
yeah,
Trump
maybe.
Wanted him to be something different, and then he wanted HUD, Housing and Urban Development.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting, you know.
But again, I think it comes down to what you said. I mean, you know, we, you know, it's all conjecture right now as to who's going to do what, who's going to be, you know, good at their job
right.
and everything else. We don't know.
Right.
Well,
you
know,
I'm just saying that a lot of these guys were put in the positions that if they were going to be in a position, I think that's what the department they should be in, you know.
Some of them, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it you know, basically what it comes down to now, I would tell the American people, you know, don't automatically accept it all. Don't automatically trust it all. Let's, like you say, let's
right.
wait and see. What else are we going to do anyway? We got no choice. We have to wait and see because that's just
right.
how it is, you know. Again, it's like I think we need to look at the history of America. You know, because our, you know, as the old saying goes, those who don't know history, you know, are doomed to repeat it. And I think we're repeating
right.
some stuff now. You know, we go back to Teddy Roosevelt, who decided to break up the monopolies in America. And at that
right.
time, you know, there was a handful of rich sons of bitches who controlled the train system and. You know, in transportation, they controlled the banks, they controlled newspapers. It was just a small group of people. And he broke that up, which was good. I mean, I'm all in favor of that. But it seems to me like that's all come back to us now. You
right.
know, if you look at, you go into your average American grocery store, over 90% of any processed food products you buy are put out by four or five different corporations. That's
right.
A monopoly. So we're back to having monopolies. We've got monopolies in every field all over again.
Oh, geez, just look at AT&T.
Exactly.
Holy
shit.
Yeah. Pardon my French, but damn, I mean, they just bought DirecTV too, and I'm like, also now they want to offer me other things for my phone. If I switch my phone to them, I'm like, how can they have that much stuff? You know?
Yeah, and it's even on a smaller level too. When I was living in Arkansas, it was back in the days when most Americans still had landlines for their phones.
Right.
And we knew they had, like, I think it was MCI, the neighborhood it was called. It was one of those unlimited long-distance plans.
Okay.
I couldn't get that where I lived because the phone company that controlled everything in the state of Arkansas where I lived, even though their headquarters was in Louisiana, you know, said, no, you can't have AT&T Unlimited. You can't have MCI. You can't have these companies. That's a monopoly, you know. And it's
you should
same thing.
Have a choice in things.
Yeah, most of the state of Arkansas is controlled by the Southern Baptist Church. That's a monopoly, you know. So, I don't know if we ever did really get away from it, or if we did, we didn't stay away from it very long, you know.
Yeah, my
but again,
sister,
most
my
Americans...
Sister.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, most Americans have no idea.
Right.
You know, that a handful of companies basically rule everything.
Exactly.
You know?
Well,
oh, no, they don't.
Get into,
you know?
Let's get into Obamacare. I mean, yeah, the greatest thing that ever happened. There's millions of people insured now. You know? My sister just not, I mean, she has a little house next to mine. I built a little house for her, one bedroom house, and she lives over here. And she came out today and she was talking to me and she says, you know what? I just signed up for my health insurance. You know what it's going to cost me for just the emergency care?
Yeah.
You know how much? $485 a month.
A month. Yeah.
A
and
month.
There's people paying even more than that.
Yeah. I remember when I was working for the Cheese Man Corporation, and they gave me great insurance. I paid $100 every month, I think it was, for me, my wife, and my kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? $400 a month for health insurance? It's only emergency plans?
But we all remember, our health care program's going to be good for you. And if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. You know, yeah.
You know what she said to me? She said, I'm just going to pay the penalty. It's cheaper.
It is.
I said, don't worry. Obama's going to abolish it. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
America should have known it was a crock of crap to begin with when we found out who was in charge of running Obamacare. The IRS.
Yeah.
Okay, now there's a bunch of trustworthy sons of bitches to put your faith in, right? You know?
Exactly.
If you're a congressman, it's okay. You cannot pay your taxes.
I mean, just
you and I go to jail.
Just these topics we've talked about today, I mean, that's proof that our nation's a dying nation.
It is.
I mean, every issue we could bring up about our country, there's always more negative than there is positive. Right?
Oh, well, sure.
I mean,
there's a video.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've
freedom,
seen it or not.
It's great to have freedom, but what's freedom? I'm told I got to wear my seatbelt. I'm told I got to wear a helmet on my motorcycle. I'm told I can't pack my gun out in the street if I don't want it. Or if I want it, I'm told I can't do a lot of things.
I don't think we have freedom, dude. I think George Carlin was right when he said, we don't have freedom, we have privileges.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, the government gives you little things to make you think.
Right. We can say what we want as long as we're on the phone or as long as we're on talking to each other. You can't say it in public.
No. and that's supposed to be, you know, probably, you know, as I've said before, the greatest thing about being an American is that freedom of speech aspect, you know, that it doesn't have to be popular, you know, and it's okay to say something that offends certain. You don't have a right not to be offended in this country, but people seem to think they do, you know, so how
and
free
too
are
many
we?
People get offended, and if too many people get offended of it, then there becomes an issue, and then there becomes somebody to stop you from saying what you said.
That's right.
Like, example,
pledge allegiance in the flag or whatever. I mean, just that's an example, and I know you don't agree with that, but, you know, anything like that goes away. Christmas is now holidays, you know, things like that.
Oh, I love that one.
Because so many people got offended.
I just love that one. That's one of my favorite ones of them all, man. You know, I mean, I'm an atheist, so I mean, I don't believe in anybody as gods anyway, and I'm not a Christmas person. I'm kind of like the original Scrooge, you know. But when I remember when Target, I think Target was the first big chain store that said, "Well, we're not going to say Merry Christmas anymore because it offends certain people. We're going to say yeah." And I thought, okay, wait a minute. You mean I can offend people just by saying Merry Christmas? Oh, hey, I'm all about Christmas now, man.
And then you all start talking about Christmas, yeah. If it's going to offend you, I'm going to say it. Exactly.
That's right. Because like, I get to say Merry Christmas and be a jerk at the same time.
Yeah, wasn't it? I can't remember what it was. They had to pull down their Christmas trees one year at the airports or some shit because it was federal funded or some shit because it was a Christmas tree and not a holiday tree.
Well, hey, we've had colleges in California who have said that they don't want military recruiters on college campuses. You know, or people that live in a certain housing development and they get told by the people that run the development, well, you can't fly a flag in your front yard. It might offend somebody. Yeah, well, come in my property and try to take my flag down, son, bitch. See where you get.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what
this is America, and we can't even fly the damn flag.
Freedom. And I mean, yeah.
That's right.
Okay, we're free. We think we have freedom.
We don't.
Do the other countries have freedom? I don't know. I've never lived in another country, but I've talked to some people that, you know, they didn't like the way, you know, their country was ran. I mean, I talked to a guy that said they could change their money on a week's notice, you know, 2-day notice. All of a sudden they say everything you have is changed. You know, that kind of stuff. I wouldn't like that. No, but I mean, they were still free to go
it's
to their
craziness.
Mom and dad's house. They were still free to go drive around. They were still free to go to work, you know, and some of these people, you know, so what is freedom?
It's an interesting question, you know. What is freedom? What do we think it is? Did we ever really have it?
Yeah.
In this country,
I mean,
think
we
certainly had more than what we got now.
Oh,
you know,
definitely. I mean, I remember I used to go into a restaurant barefoot and no shirt.
Exactly. You know, and it's become so limited.
Right.
You know, because
you can't drive my car with no seatbelt.
Yeah, you can't do that no more.
Yeah,
well, you can,
like,
but you know,
why ain't you got $200 ticket for no seatbelt or some crap, right?
Yeah,
and it's like,
well, they tell me this is my country, right? This is my country. It's your country,
right,
Mike? Why do I got to get a permit from the government to go fishing?
Yeah, yeah, I know. Got to pay for a license to go fishing.
Yeah, I need meat in my freezer. I'm going to go out and shoot me a deer and get some meat in my freezer. Oh, no, you got to get a permit, and you got to wait till deer season.
Yeah, again,
you know, last I checked, we're not on a shortage of deer in this country.
You know, and that's the thing. Again, that's another issue there, that why are we, you know, we're talking about low-income families that don't have the money, but I'm sure they love to hunt, you know, but they got to wait till hunting season and get drawn for a big animal. You know, or
well, I think that the primary reason for that is they don't want you to be self-sufficient. The government does not want you to be self-sufficient. What the government today wants, they want you to be dependent on the government from cradle to grave.
But then, you know what's happening, damn it? These kids are growing up and thinking the government owes them everything.
Oh, we've got entire generations that feel that now. Like, I don't want to work, therefore the government should pay for me and my babies.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, my son was saying, well, Trump wants to get rid of Social Security. And I'm like, well, you know, I depend on Social Security.
So do I.
You know, I'm medically retired. Okay.
Me
too. Does that scare me? No, because, you know, they privatize it, whatever. I'll still be eligible for something because I'm medically retired. I could prove it. You know, they get rid of Social Security, and these kids that are sitting on it because they're agoraphobic or they're too lazy to work and found some doctor to say they're sick. Bullshit. Get off and find a job.
Dude, I got an ex-brother-in-law. I got an ex-brother-in-law in California who has worked one job his entire freaking life. Okay? He joined the Army got kicked out of the Army because he was a drunk and a drug addict. Did he get a dishonorable discharge? No. He got an honorable discharge. Now this piece of crap has full VA benefits. He gets more money from Social Security than I do. He gets over $300 a month in food stamps. But I worked all my life.
Yeah.
And I had to get a lawyer to get my Social Security.
And you're Social Security because you worked all your life and worked yourself to the bone.
And when it got to where my doctor said, "That's it, you're done, you can't do it no more. It's over." No, well, I guess I'm just somebody out, you know, milking the system. And I'll tell you what.
Right.
The next son of a so-and-so that gets up in my face and tells me my Social Security check is an entitlement, I'm going to make them eat their teeth. You know? Don't you love the ones that say, "Oh, dude, you got it made, man. All you got to do is sit at home and wait for a check to come in every month. Oh, yeah, and it's so much more money than what I made as a journeyman welder. Give me a break."
Exactly.
Come on.
It's like, I'd rather be working anyway. That's not to say, Kevin, our mental aspect of sitting home and not being able to do shit because of our pains and our aches and our mental states going to hell because we're depressed all the friggin' time because we can't do nothing we want to do.
Hey, gentlemen.
Dude,
we're
not
those guys.
Sorry, guys.
Yes.
We're not those guys that are collecting Social Security and going out and fishing and riding in nice fancy cars. And, you know, we're not doing that. We're on Social Security sitting at home because we can't go out and do shit.
Hey, guys.
True.
We got. I just wanted to peek my head out behind the glass here for a second. We got 15 minutes to wrap up this episode. It's just a time check for you. Thanks.
Right on.
Oh, okay.
There's a video, Mike. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm not going to swear to this, ladies and gentlemen, but I think it's the title of the video is "America is Not the Greatest Country on Earth," and it's taken from a TV show. I don't remember the name of the show. But the main guy in the thing is an actor by the name of Jeff Daniels. I believe it's Jeff Daniels. And he's in like this setting where he's playing a journalist. And it's this question and answer thing. And somebody stands up and says, "Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. What about America being the greatest country on earth?" And he says who? And then he goes down the litany of things that we're not number one in. The only thing America's pretty much number one in now is we have more people per capita in our prisons than China and Russia combined. We're, 25th to 29th in education and all these things, you know, that we're bad at now.
Right.
You know, but if you try telling somebody, "No, dude, I hate to tell you, but we're not the greatest country on earth anymore." And people get violently angry with you. Like, I'm not in
a video, the name of that video.
I'll find it and I'll send a link to you. It's a fantastic video. It really is.
Yeah.
But it's just this idea, you know, you can be proud of your country. I'm proud to be an American, man.
Right.
You know, I'll always be proud to be an American. But this isn't the greatest country on earth anymore. We can't say we are the greatest anymore. We're not as free as we used to be. We don't, you know, there's all these things going on that we're just falling by the wayside. I mean, many European countries now have more freedom than we do because there's nobody over there going, "Well, hey, if you say that, we're going to label you a racist or a homophobe or this phobe or that phobe." You know, and so what if somebody is? You know, I don't like the KKK. I don't like the Westboro Baptist Church. I don't like the Black Panthers. I don't like these people. They're hate groups. But this is America. And even if you want to spew hate, that's your right as an American. I'm kind of glad they have the right to do it because at least we know who they are and we know where they are. You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Later on down the line, we need to go round them up. We can get them, you know.
Yeah, I was actually watching something on the news tonight. It was one of the local elementary schools because they have a church group that rents out some of the church or some of the school for their activities once a week.
Yeah.
You know, for some church, so they pay rent and do get a, you know, probably reduced rent. Well, because they do that to the church, all of a sudden these satanic worshipers, Satan worshipers, decided to do the same thing. And now it's all up in arms because the parents are like, well, we don't want this in our schools. And blah, blah, blah. And after school, right? And they interviewed the lady that was in charge of the Satan worshipers. And she says, the only reason we're doing it is because they did it. Why can't we do it? You know, we're teaching kids. It's just we want to meet here, and this is what we want to do.
Oh, everybody wants to be
there
heard,
all
man.
These protesters, because tonight was the first night they were all going to meet. But again, they have that right, you know.
Dude, I got friends who are Satanists, so I got no problem with them. I think they're just as goofy as some of the other religions out there. But the whole thing, everybody's going to be butthurt about something. Everybody's whining about something, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can't we come together as Americans to say, there's a group I saw advertised online the other day. I think it's called Stop Fighting and Start Fixing. And it's supposedly a collection of Democrats, Republicans. And they're just saying, look, okay, the election's over. Okay, whether you like it or not, Trump is the president-elect.
Trump's the next president, right.
That's it. It's a done deal.
Get over it.
So let's start working together. That means Pelosi, all these people. Let's get together. Let's start fixing the country. Because, you know, I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. But I have most of my friends are one or the other.
Right.
But, you know, I remember when Obama first started running for president, you had people like Hannity and O'Reilly saying, well, if you vote for Obama, you're not a patriot. You're not a real American. Well, that's despicable. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, liberals love America, too. They love their country, too. We just have different views on how things need to be done.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, you know, I mean, both sides will sit there and bitch at each other. Well, we tried to reach our hands across the aisles, but the damn Democrats didn't want to work, you know, or they're, you know, whoever, they don't want to work with us. It's an excuse.
Well, the bad part is, you know, these guys will sit in these friggin' Senate and House, they'll sit there and introduce these bills, but then they got to squeeze in their little thing to try to get it passed too on the same bill.
Yeah, all they
got
on the
court. And that's half our issue. Yeah. Okay, we want to make it to where it's legal to do this, but we want this done too. Well, that's what screws up the whole bill to make the country better, because you know the things that they're voting on that everybody agrees on, they won't vote on because they got damn add-ons.
Writers. They're called writers.
Yeah.
And we need to get rid of that. No more writers on bills.
Right.
But we won't do
one
that
bill,
because
one issue, one period.
But that disrupts business as usual, Mike.
Well, plus these son of a bitches need to work more than 100, don't deserve 170 days off a year. You know, they need to start working.
If you can't balance the budget, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
the government shuts down, you know.
That means the government shuts down. You have no money to get paid.
No, but they get paid.
I know they do. And
we're supposed to accept Obamacare as
you and I together.
Oh, yeah. They got better health insurance than almost anybody in this country does.
Well, yeah.
But it seems to be do as I say, not as I do.
They make,
you know,
probably more than anybody, than 90% of the population. They, you know, they're not middle class.
Well, Mike, come on.
Middle class.
They deserve more money and they deserve better health care because, damn it,
and more
they're running
off.
The country. They're better than
and
we
more
are.
Time off. Yeah.
Yeah, we're just
time
a little
off.
Peasant. We're peasant. We're the peasantry. You know, we're the little guy. You
well,
know, when it's the little guy that makes this country roll.
In my damn lifetime, I'll never see it. But I'll tell you what. I've talked many times about salary caps in sports. We better start putting some salary caps in the House.
Damn right. Term limits and everything else, man.
Hell yeah. I mean, you get a 75-year-old guy. I mean, Jim McDermott from Seattle, he was on the TV yesterday because the Sounders won the MLS Cup. And they were talking about he's been in office since 1980-something. I'm like, are you shitting me?
Yeah. Yeah.
1980-something?
And they just keep getting reelected and reelected.
Yeah. Just
I don't get it.
He's there. It's like, are you kidding me? You guys blind? You can't see this guy? Can't even think straight? He's got a
How many years did Teddy Kennedy sit in there?
Yeah.
You know, and he was drunk off his ass half the time. And I ain't stretching the truth on that one.
No.
You know,
It's just like.
But oh, he was a Kennedy, so we got to keep reelecting him.
Yeah, well, let's wake up, folks. You know, let's wake up. It's time to wake up and do something about this country. Because if you don't, you ain't going to have nothing. You know, you might as well be happy that, Trump might be friends with Putin.
You know, like I said, you know, as long as the average American's got the latest Call of Duty or whatever the popular video game of the day is, you know, and
no,
Taco
Call
Bell's got a new cheesy chalupa, you know.
It's a bomb, dude. Don't mess with Call of Duty.
I don't play video games, so it's all crap to me, bro.
Oh no, this is Call of Duty Remastered, the shit.
But dude, I turned 56 yesterday.
Yeah, okay, I'm 54. Okay. I'll be 55 here in a few months. And
so
I
remember the first video game, Pong. Remember that one? Pong?
Pong, dude, oh yeah. Dink.
I remember looking at that, and my friends were going, dude, this is amazing. I'm like going, what's blip, blip? What's so amazing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a pinball machine or foosball.
It was fun. Yeah, pinball,
I didn't
foosball.
Play it, dude. I wouldn't know. Pinball and
foosball was
fun.
Foosball
yeah.
was that was the game.
But it's the thing, you know, we've got these little things that sidetrack us.
That's probably what half my wrist problems from foosball.
That's right, carpal tunnel, baby.
Now yeah, they're getting up video games and computers,
Mike,
and phones.
I'm sure that pinball is what caused your wrist problems as a teenager, Mike.
Don't you have stuff?
No, I know what
like
caused my wrist problems, especially my left hand.
Don't you have stuff to do like running the boards, Chris? Who brought you back into this conversation?
Well, yeah. I was coming back in to let you guys know that we are down to 3 minutes remaining in the show. So,
okay, you did.
Okay.
So butt out, asshat.
But, you know, he's being perverted now.
Yeah.
No, I've grown up a poor white guy, and, you know, we didn't have a lot to do. So Chris is probably right.
I grew up with white privilege, whatever the hell that is.
White privilege?
Yeah. I kept
What's
hearing about
privilege?
That. I'm like, wait a minute, you know, I grew up poor. You want my privilege, you can have it.
I've lived in the suburbs and inner cities my life, man, so I've seen some different sides.
Well, I was born a poor black child.
Well, I ran, you know,
you
I
were born
when I was a kid. Yeah, you were born?
Asshole. Now who's off their game tonight? It ain't me. Mr. Chris over there making the insults.
He knows how to do it. Chris has got that.
No, I just wanted to chime in and tell you guys it's a nice episode. It was really good, man. I was sitting here listening to it, and you know, it's just a lot of good topics, and I just want to commend you on it. Really good episode, guys.
Well, thank you.
Well, my doppelganger wasn't here to mess things up, so it was good, you know.
your dual universe personality, man.
Yeah, the guy from the Bizarro world.
And now you all know why he was medically retired.
That's right. It's all mental, baby. The cheese done slid off my cracker.
You know, honestly, that's what happens when you become medically retired, though. The cheese starts sliding off the cracker, doesn't it?
And it's not hard to do when it's all Velveeta, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Kraft singles melt too damn easy.
The problem is it doesn't fall off. It just hangs off the sides of the cracker.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It looks really nasty.
That's the problem.
Speaking of which,
that's
Velveeta bad. Right here. Oh,
man. That's better than stuff out of a can, okay?
We've got about 15 seconds, guys, so if you want to say your farewell thing, I'll come
well,
back
I
on.
Well, I appreciate the listeners, and let's hope for the best with Trump and his cabinet picks. And until next week, have a great one.
And I'll say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and keep listening, folks. We'll keep doing our best to give you guys a good show and to give you some information that you can use in your life, your everyday existence. And, hey, if not, we'll make you laugh here and there. So it's all good.
Absolutely. And make sure you tune in every Wednesday. Well, there's been a couple we haven't been here, but usually Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Chalkland of a Nation, where you can hear Mike and Kevin give their take on what needs to be said. Make sure you check out Generations of Gaming, which I host with my son on Thursday nights. It's video game talk. And there's a little rumor going around that LA Edge Web Radio may bring back She Said, He Said. So we're waiting.
Well, I hope so. The good show.
But thanks. But I have to talk to the missus. She's not a big microphone kind of person, so I got to get her into that. But
there you
but
go.
Then we're going to have a new show starting after the first of the year. Sorry, I'm just saying all this because the first of the year is just a couple weeks away. I know it's hard to believe. But the first of the year, we're going to be having a new show about medical marijuana called The Greenhouse Effect.
Cool.
And if Kevin plays his cards right, he may be very well bringing you a paranormal show after the first of the year. So he's only got a couple.
Damn right, baby.
So
I'll bring you truth.
A lot of good stuff coming here, guys. So keep tuning in to LA Edge Web Radio. We are continuing to try to listen to what you would want to hear and produce a show for you. So any ideas you guys have, please send it to us at laedgewebradio@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to do our best to produce a podcast that talks about the topics that you want to listen to. So,
and do all this stuff, or I'll move in next door to you and your lawn will die. Okay, so there's your warning.
Gentlemen, great episode again, and thanks again for tuning in. Everybody out there, I appreciate all the support. The numbers have been actually, Mike was asking me, you know, how's it been going? You know, what's the listeners' numbers been like? And I told him, I said, you know, honestly, for being a new show that is out around a time when people are probably sick of hearing about politics, it actually, the numbers, I would consider them a B above average. So I'm actually
cool.
Really happy
good
with the turnout so far, and hope that you keep spreading the word and get more people, because this show right here it's the one to tune into, guys.
So we'll be back next week, you're saying, then. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no pink ticket in your locker yet, Mike.
Hey.
Well,
but
there
is. That's
wrapped my doll.
With that said, we are getting the countdown to tell me that it's going to end on us automatically. So thank you all for tuning in. And, gentlemen, have a great night.
Dasvidanya.
Take it easy, everybody.
You're fired.
Fired.
You're 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 fired.